And that's just a good start. We get it going. We don't want it ever to stop. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We won't be saying a whole lot. 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. 7 o'clock Friday, and then, of course, 10 o'clock Sunday morning and 6 o'clock Sunday afternoon. So please remember that. Amen. And we'll look forward to it. Amen. We ask you to help us. We want to bless our evangelist. So as much as you can be generous in offerings, do that. We won't say a whole lot about it during the revival, but you know it takes money, amen, to do that. And so help us and just bring your best gift to the Lord that you possibly can. And we'll pass that on to our evangelist. And we want to treat them as well as we possibly can. Amen. All right. Well, children's, our kids can. Let's go ahead, kids can, with your instructors. Amen. And if you'd wait for your instructors, it'd be real good, not get too far ahead of them. It's going to be cold over there if you do. Amen. And then upper room youth, God bless you. Amen. And thank you for being here tonight. There are a couple of scriptures tonight that I have found in the Word of the Lord that almost seem to be contradictory. They're not, but it almost seems that way. I'm going to read tonight, first of all, from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. The scripture said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Everybody say few. Few there be that find it. And then, in the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 9, John said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Everybody say, a great multitude. So my question tonight is, how can a few become a multitude? And that's our subject, how the few became a multitude. Amen. How the few became a multitude. And that's a message from the ages, but it's particularly pertinent to us here tonight. Amen. And so I believe the Bible has an answer for us here tonight. God bless you. You may be seated. These verses seem to conflict one with the other. One emphasizes the few, and the other emphasizes the great multitude. Amen. So we want tonight to endeavor to reconcile the differences. First of all, I want us to look at the few. It's a troubling statement. A few be there that find it. Just a few, he said, are going to find it. He said there's a broad way, and many go in thereat. But then there's a narrow way and a straight way. Being straight here simply means not easy to enter into. It takes effort to enter into it. You have to enter into it on purpose. You're not going to stray into it. You're going to have to make an effort to get into it. And the kingdom of God is just like that. The Bible said the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. If you get into this kingdom, you're going to get into it with some effort. I don't know about you, but it takes effort to serve God. I don't believe you can serve God effortlessly. I don't think you're going to make it if you're just coasting. Amen. Somebody said, we're born on an incline. If you're not climbing up, you're sliding back. And it sure seems that way. Amen. But it's an effort, amen, to serve the Lord. And because we do have some enemies, and the devil does everything he can to keep people from being saved. How many believe that? Did the devil fight you before you got here? Has he fought you after you got here? Amen. Yes, sir. Praise God. It's not easy. Amen. There's a battle that's going on. Amen. But the Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. And I believe that tonight. No matter how difficult it may seem at times, and we do the spiritual battle, and we're fighting spiritual influences, but it's just better living for God. You see, when I was a transgressor, I still struggled and I still fought. Amen. But I didn't have the peace that I have now. I didn't have the joy that I have now. I didn't have the hope that I have now. I didn't have the vision and the love of God that I have now. Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible means when it said the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. And oh, it is, isn't it? Sin's hard on folks. You say that again. Sin is hard on folks. Amen. Somebody asked an old fellow one time, they said, sir, how did a man at your age get to such an advanced age? He said, well, I drank since I was old enough to do so, and I smoked ever since I was able to do so. They said, well, that's different. How old are you? He said, 36. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's not easy to live in sin, folks. It takes a toll on you. Amen. You read sometimes and all these great health tips that come, and it's kind of interesting. But you know what? A lot of those folks die pretty young. It's not what they eat. It's the other things they ingest that cause them problems. Sin's hard on people. Sin's hard on people. And so the Bible tells us the way of the transgressor is hard, and yet there was a straight and a narrow way. And that's a road that we're on. Amen. And the Bible said there's few that find it. I don't believe it's the will of God. As a matter of fact, God stated very plainly that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God. That is the will of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. God revealed His love to us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. And so it's not the will of God that causes the few. So what is it that causes just a few here? Amen. Now, we understand that to be a relative term. There are more Christians alive today than there's ever been in all of history. Isn't that amazing? Here we are 2,000 years after Jesus Christ and the voice of the apostles, and yet there are more Christians today on the face of the earth than there's ever been at any time in history. This flame's not going out, folks. It's getting brighter, and it's getting stronger every day. There are more people that believe in the name of Jesus than ever. There are more people that are baptized in Jesus' name than ever. There are more people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues than at any time in all of history. This is a great day to be alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a great day. And yet, even though there are so many, there are yet untold millions, untold. We've still got a big job to do. I read last week a statement I believe Brother Anthony Mangan made it because of the times when he said, the gospel is not good news unless it gets there in time. So we've got a big job, folks. We've still got a job to reach the world with the gospel. We've got to be not just locally minded. This is one time to think globally. Amen. We've got to reach our world with the gospel. And we've mentioned it before, and I say it again tonight. It's exciting that we have tools available to us that's never been available before in history. Amen. That from that little computer right back there, we can go anywhere in the world. And anywhere in the world can come right here. Praise the Lord. And we're having people from other nations, other countries, asking Bible studies and taking Bible studies. Amen. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God. It's exciting to live in this kind of a day. You know, I read sometimes on Facebook, and it seems some people waste such an opportunity. Why in the world would you want to put on them what a bad day you're having when you could tell somebody how good Jesus is? Amen. Why would you want to hang out your dirty laundry for the world to read when you could be telling them about Jesus saves? Amen. And how to get the Holy Ghost. And about baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. There's good things out there, folks. There's opportunities for us to reach beyond our walls like we've never done it before. Amen. And could it be there's few that find it because it's so well hidden? Somebody said one time that this apostolic message is the best kept secret in the world. And that's sad, isn't it? Amen. It's sad. It doesn't need to be a secret. Jesus didn't say keep it secret. He said tell it. Preach it. Share it. Give it. Send it. Do whatever you got to do. But get this message out. Amen. So God is not willing that any should perish. But the Bible says there's a few that find it. Well, you know, in the Bible, there was not a lot of people that found Jesus. There really were not. The ones that I found, first of all, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, the wise men found him. They found him because they sought him. And as somebody said, wise men still do. He said that if you will draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. The Bible said that if we will seek him, we will find him. The wise men found him because they were seeking him, and the Lord sent a star to guide them. And the Bible said when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I always love that. Man, that's a marvelous statement, isn't it? And when they were coming to the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's how you come to Jesus. When you come worshiping. You come bowing. You come humbly. You come giving the gift of yourself. You open up the treasure. Lord, anything that I am, anything that I ever could be, it's yours. You can have it all tonight. And so they came. worshiping and bowing and giving. And they found him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says they went their way rejoicing. Woo! Amen. They went their way rejoicing. Glory. Amen. So the wise men found him. The Bible in John chapter 1, verse 35, says, the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Amen. The ministry of John was not an easy ministry. John said he must increase, but I must decrease. Everybody loves increasing, but it's hard to decrease. It's easy to go up the ladder, but it's hard to come down the ladder. It's easy to be number one, but it's hard to be number two and number three and number four. Amen. Everybody likes to go up. Nobody likes to come down. John said he must increase, but I must decrease. He understood his ministry. At the height and the peak of his popularity, he turned it all over to Jesus Christ. No wonder Jesus said, born of women, there's no greater than John the Baptist. Anybody that can play the second fiddle, they say that's the hardest instrument to play in all the orchestra. Everybody wants to be first. Amen. But John played it, and he played it well. Amen. And so he introduced Andrew to John to Jesus, and the Bible says that they didn't follow John anymore, but they followed Jesus. They found him. Hallelujah. There are not many found him. It's amazing how few people found the Lord in the Bible. John chapter 1 and verse 43, it's kind of an interesting statement. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Now, he found Philip, and so do we say he found Philip, or did Philip find the Lord? It's always been a little interesting statement to me. I found the Lord. We wasn't lost, you know. And he found me, but he knew where I was all the time. So it's a little bit of a tricky terminology, isn't it, when we talk about finding the Lord. But nonetheless, the Bible says that the Lord found Philip and said unto him, follow me. So now we've got the wise men, and then we have John and Andrew, and here we have Philip that found the Lord. Amen. And there's others that found him, but in kind of a unique way. Paul found the Lord, didn't he? Again, it was kind of a, Jesus initiated the thing, but Paul was so hard-headed he wouldn't listen to anybody but God, I guess. And did the Lord ever get his attention? He knocked him down to the ground, blinded him, and spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And by this time he had his attention. Saul said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus. Amen. Whom thou persecutest. How did Paul persecute Jesus? Because he persecuted his body. And you touch the body of Christ, and you touch Jesus himself. This is something I think we need to understand very well, and I'm not sure that we grasp it as well as we should. We find it far too easy to criticize our brothers and sisters and talk bad about brothers and sisters. You know what you're doing? You're talking about the very body of Christ when you do that. Amen. It would be really good if we could remember that. Next time we're tempted to just really rip into somebody, You need to step back a minute. Would you do that to the Lord Himself? Would you do that if Jesus was here? Would you talk to Him that way? I hope not. Well, this is His body. This is His bride. So we need to be very careful how we deal one with the other. Can I hear an amen or an oh me? Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm Jesus. That's who you're persecuting. Paul was persecuting the body, wasn't he? Not Jesus. Jesus had already resurrected. He'd already gone and been ascended. But he found Paul, and Paul found Jesus on the road to Damascus. Transformed his life forever. To me, one of the greatest miracles in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. That God could so completely transform an individual like He did Paul. He made him from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. A man that hated Gentiles with a passion to the apostle to the Gentiles. Now he would stand with them. He would die at their hand and still love them. My, what a great, great man, and what a great miracle God wrought in the life of Paul the Apostle. Amen. So there's not very many here. We don't have very many here, do we? The wise men and John and Andrew and Philip and Paul, that is a few. Amen. So there's just a few that found the way. I don't know very many people that just found the way. I wonder how many people here tonight, you just found the way. Nobody told you. Nobody witnessed to you. Nobody talked to you about it. You just found the way. Amen. Anybody here tonight, you just found the way? Amen. You just got a revelation. You're reading the Bible and you found it. Most people don't find it. Maybe that's why the Bible said there's few that find it. Most people are introduced to it. Most people are brought to it. They don't find it, but somebody that has it takes it to them. Now that happened a lot in the Bible, didn't it? As a matter of fact, Andrew's one of my favorite people in the Bible. Because every time you read about Andrew, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. He found the Lord. He was one of the few that found Him. And the next thing you know, he's bringing his brother Peter to Jesus. Amen. He goes and he says, hey, Peter, he said we found Him. Woo! And he brings Peter to Jesus. And my, what a blessing that was to the church. The old big fisherman became one of the chief apostles, didn't he? Amen. But it was his brother that brought him to the Lord. And it was Andrew, when everybody else was trying to figure out how to feed the crowd, Andrew was out there looking for something to work with, and he found a boy with a lunch, and he said, hey, he said, come with me, and he brought him to Jesus. And it was Andrew that the Greeks came to and said, we would see Jesus. Every time you see Him, He's always bringing somebody to the Lord. We need more Andrews in the church. We need more people always bringing somebody else to Jesus. That was the ministry of Andrew. He was always bringing somebody. He found the Lord. And then he brought Peter. And then Philip. Remember, Philip found the Lord. And the next thing he did was to bring his friend Nathanael to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Nathanael became one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. There's just people, when they hear about it, they bring others. Praise God. I thank God for people that did that. I met a lady one time. She was a fascinating person that found the Lord in a unique way. She lived in the Soviet Union, in Russia, actually, during the Cold War. And when she wasn't supposed to have a Bible, but she had one. And she was sincerely seeking God for this truth and how to find Jesus Christ. And so she was sincerely praying and fasting and searching and reading. And she came across a verse in the Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 38. Amen. And she found something there, and she got the Holy Ghost. Nobody ever preached to her. She just found it. It took her a long time to find somebody that would baptize her, because nobody understood that. But she kept saying, this is what it says. Until one day she went to a conference of all things, and she was an English professor, and she was going to translate for this preacher that was preaching this meeting, and he needed somebody that could speak English so he could understand her and translate in Russian to the people. And so she came, and she was doing that, and he got to preaching from Acts 2:38, and she got so excited. She didn't know there was anybody else in the world that believed that. And she got so excited and so happy when he started preaching Acts 2:38. Amen. And right after that, she got baptized in Jesus' name, because she finally found some people that believed it like she did. Hallelujah. Amen. It answered one of my questions. I'd always wondered if I had never, ever heard of this apostolic message, and all I had was my Bible, would it be possible for me to find the truth that way? Well, it was for her. Hallelujah. And we found that in other places. We have found in other countries where we preached and reached out to people, and we've had people come and when they believed, they said, oh, they got so excited, they said, we didn't know there was anybody else that preached this. We thought we were the only ones. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are people that find it. There are a few, but there are people that find it. But our job, after we find it, is to tell somebody else about it. Amen. The Bible said that there was a woman in Mark chapter 5, and the scripture said, she had a disease, an issue of blood, and she had it for 12 long years. And she went to doctor after doctor, and she endured treatment after treatment. And it said she was not any better, and her money was gone. And it says, and when she heard of Jesus, but say she heard, why did she hear? Because somebody told her. I don't know who told her. I don't know who the witness. We don't have that information. But somebody told her about Jesus. And when she heard about him, she sought him out. And when she got to where he was, there was a crowd. But she said in her mind and in her heart, if I can just touch that little blue ribbon around the bottom of his garment that Jewish men wore as a symbol of mercy. She said, if I could just touch that little ribbon down there, amen, I'll be all right. You see, a priest or a teacher, rather, wore on his robe, he had these little tassels. You know what they called them? They called them wings. You remember the Bible talks about that the Son of Man will rise with healing in his wings. Amen. Well, that's what it's talking about. Those little tassels on his robe. And so when she reached out and she touched that, amen, the Bible said that immediately she was healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Because somebody told her about Jesus. And I'm going to promise you one thing. She told somebody else. Yes, she did. She immediately went out and began to tell some other people. The Bible said in Mark chapter chapter 1 that there was a leper one day that called out to Jesus and said, "If you will, you can make me whole." And Jesus said, "I will." And he touched him. And then he told the leper, he said, "Now don't you tell anybody about what I've done for you." Amen. Just keep it to yourself. Now, do you think he did that? Oh, no, he couldn't do that. How could he? Amen. He was a leper. And he wanted to go home. And the only way he could go home is to be declared free from his leprosy. So he went down to the priest, and he had a ritual that he went through, and they put him through the ritual, and they selected, and they saw that he had no more leprosy. Praise God. Hallelujah. He had a testimony, though, didn't he? And I mean to tell you, he shared it. First of all, Jesus said, "You go show yourself to the priest." He did that. Amen. And then the Bible says in Mark 1 and 45, Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody," but he said he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter from that one man's testimony. Whoop! Hallelujah. But my, what a testimony. I used to be a leper. I was dying of leprosy. I had no hope. I had no future. But Jesus Christ cleansed me. And now I have hope. And now I have a life. And now I have a future. I can go back to my home. I can go back to my family. I can get a job. I can work and support my family again. Amen. My, what a testimony he had. And you know what? You got a testimony tonight. You didn't have leprosy, but you had sin, and it was just as deadly, and it was taking your life. But Jesus came, and he cleansed us, hallelujah, and he gave us a hope, and a joy, and a peace, and the love of God. And so great salvation. Amen. We need to be like that leper. The Bible said, he just got started. He couldn't help but tell him. You know, because everybody that knew him, think about it. I mean, he went home and people were scared. They said, "Oh, what are you doing here? You've got leprosy." He said, "Not anymore. I'm cleansed. I'm free. I'm whole." Hallelujah. Amen. And all of his friends, he had to tell every one of them. And everywhere he went, people said, "Oh, here comes the leper." He said, "Not anymore. I used to be a leper. Amen, but I'm a miracle now." Yes. Glory. Amen. And so he told everybody, and the Bible said everybody heard, and everybody wanted to see Jesus, and it got to where he couldn't even get into town because the crowd was so great, they were pushing him back out into the deserted places. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, what a testimony. What a testimony. Amen. Mark chapter 5. There's an amazing fellow in the Bible. The scripture says that he had a legion of demons. And one day Jesus stepped on the shore where he was. And as Jesus stepped out of the boat, he stepped into the sand. Bible says that man ran to where he was. This just always amazes me. And the Bible said he fell down and he worshiped. I'm telling you tonight, the devil cannot stop people that want to worship. This guy, he still had inside of him was literally a legion of demons. But when he wanted to worship Jesus, they could not stop him from worshiping the Lord. And when Jesus saw... Now, a lot of us, we would have a hard time with that. We want people to kind of look like us before they worship God. Here's a guy, he don't have no clothes on, folks. He was wild. His eyes were wild. Amen. He was scary. The Bible said he terrorized the neighborhood. People were scared to death of him. They tried to chain him up, and he broke chains. They put him in cages, and he broke out. They could hear him. He lived in the graveyard. And they heard him screaming in the night, and their children would run and jump in bed with the parents. Husbands would hug wives. Hey, man, what's going on here? Crazy. Wow. Scary. Terrifying. Sad. The Bible said that he would pick rocks up and literally rip his flesh open. His body was covered with ugly scars, and bruises, and scabs, and bleeding wounds. My, what a sight. And he ran to Jesus. It doesn't say, but I kind of think maybe the disciples ran the other way. I just kind of think of what I would have done. At least they stayed behind Jesus. I promise you that. That's a good place to stay. Amen. Let him go first. And so the man came and he bowed down. And he began to worship. Through all of that, he worshiped God. And Jesus, what's your name? He couldn't even speak. The devil spoke for him. He said, my name is Legion. And Jesus immediately recognized and said, come out. Spirits began to beg and plead. Said, don't send us away empty. Let us go into the herd of swine. Jesus just said, go. And those spirits came out of that man, went into the herd of swine that was grazing nearby. And that man was clean. Now, the first folks that testified about this didn't quite have the story. The Bible said, and the guys that were keeping the pigs were the first one to tell the news. Now, can't you imagine what their story was? That would have been quite a story, wouldn't it? They ran back to town and they said, whoop, big boss! Have we got a story for you? They said, we got some good news and we got some bad news. He said, what's the good news? He said, you know that guy that was crazy, that lived in the graveyard, that was always cutting himself and beating himself up, that everybody's scared of? He said, I know who you're talking about. They said, well, he's not crazy anymore. He's not demoniac anymore. He's been delivered. Hallelujah. He said, that is good news. And he said, do you know the bad news? He said, well, do you remember that herd of swine you used to have? And he said, used to? He said, yes, sir. He said, we don't know what happened. This guy stepped out of a boat. Crazy men ran down there. They talked for a few minutes, and all of a sudden the pigs went wild. And before we could stop them, they were running into the cliff and falling in the sea. I'm telling you what, it got people's attention. Amen. The Jerusalem Times was there. Everybody else. And they came down, and I'm sure they had... You know, they had protesters. You kind of can't have something like that without some protesters, right? And we had the environmentalists down there, and all they cared about was the water that the pigs had jumped off in. They were carrying signs that said, give a hoot, don't pollute. And it was wild. They were having I mean, it was quite a thing. People came out to see, but they all came for the same reason. And they didn't understand. They did not understand. The Bible says when they got there, they saw this man, and he was sitting. He was clothed. He was in his right mind. But instead of seeing that miracle, all they could see was dead pigs and polluted water. And so they said to Jesus, "Go, leave us. Leave us alone." And Jesus will not stay where he's not welcome. So he went to the boat, and this man came behind him. And the Bible says that he prayed him, he begged him. He said, "Lord, I want to go with you." Now here it is, folks. This is something that amazes me. Jesus turns to this man. You talk about a new convert. He's just a few hours old in the Lord. He hadn't been to Bible school. He doesn't have his degree. He hadn't been to seminary. And Jesus turns to him and he says, "No." He says, "You stay here." Now he said something a little different to this man. And what he said to the leper, he said, "Don't tell anybody." But to this man, he says something different. He says, "I want you to go and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done." Amen. He told the others, he said, "Don't you tell." But this man, he says, "You go tell him." What's the difference? Why tell one not to say anything, and the other one, he said, to say something. Well, the leper that he cleansed was actually in the borders of Israel. This man, that this demoniac that he's delivered, is in an area called Decapolis. It was belonged to Israel at one time, but because they had never by faith really possessed it. But Jesus went there because he walked in all the promise. But Decapolis, there were 10 Greek or 5 Greek cities there. And Jesus went to those Greek cities. Amen. And this man was a witness among Gentiles. Jesus didn't have a witness among Gentiles, but now he does. So he tells this man, he says, "You go tell everybody that you can find." What do I say? What great things the Lord has done. Did he do that? I believe he did. If you go over a little bit further in the book of Mark, chapter 31, chapter 7, chapter 7, verse 31, the Bible said, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis." That's where he healed that man to begin with. Amen. And when he got there, the Bible says they started bringing people to him. They brought him this deaf man. And he was deaf and mute. And they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. Praise the Lord. And the next thing you knew, the Bible said, and there was this great multitude there. Woo! You know what I think happened? I believe that they were looking for Jesus. Because this one man that had been a demoniac told everybody what Jesus had done. And when he gave his testimony, they got so stirred and they thought, "Oh no, we sent him away. Is he ever coming back?" He said, "I don't know if he's coming back. Can he do anything to help me?" He said, "Yeah. If he can do this for me, he can do anything for anybody." And he gave his testimony. And when Jesus came, they were looking for him. And when they saw him, they started bringing other people to him. And he did the same thing. He started healing. Hallelujah. He started ministering. He started blessing others. Praise God. And so he began to minister to them. That's the power. You see, it was just a few that found him, but the few that found him shared with others, and it wasn't long until everybody started knowing about him. And then he came to the little town and he healed a man. The next thing you know, the whole town was going out to meet Jesus, and it just pushed him right out of the village. The Bible said he got so popular that he couldn't walk openly because people were just everywhere he went, they were swamping him. So he had to preach in places, not in the city, but out in the byways and the countryside. It was the only place that was big enough for the crowds. On the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, and it was just a few, just 120. Now, there were 500 people there when Jesus gave the command to go and tarry. But by the time 7 days passed and the Holy Ghost fell, there was only 120 left. But the 120, after they got the Holy Ghost, spilled out on Solomon's porch, talking in tongues and worshiping. And Peter got to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. But when he got through, there was 3,120. And then in just a few days later, there were 5,000 more. And then the Bible says all of Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine. Amen. And it wasn't long before it spilled out of Judea into Samaria. And finally, the Bible said they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Amen. They were preaching the gospel everywhere. And I'm telling you, they affected the world. They shook the nations of their time for the preaching of the gospel. If they did it then, we can do it now. If they did it then, has the gospel changed? Has the Lord changed? Has the Holy Ghost changed? Has the Great Commission changed? None of those things have changed. So we still have the same Holy Ghost, the same commission, the same power. Amen. And the Bible said the glory of the former house of the latter house will be greater than the former house, the first house. Amen. So we're looking for a greater revival in the end times than we had in the beginnings. And we must have. Because we have over 7 billion people on the face of our planet. Folks, we've got to have a great revival. We've got to have a great revival. We can't have just a small revival. If we can't be satisfied with just a few, we've got to have a great revival in this day. And it's got to go way beyond these walls. Amen. It's got to get into every continent. It's got to get into every nation. Amen. We've got a big job. We've got a big God. We've got a big job to do. And God, help us not to get so locked into our own private lives that we forget about those who have yet to hear. Amen. Brother Neil, it's still my responsibility to preach this gospel to the whole world. It's yours too. Everybody in here tonight. Amen. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's your job. He commissioned you just like He commissioned me. It's all of our responsibility to get this gospel to the whole world. Amen. It's a big job. But we got a big God. And He's doing great things. And if He did it for the first church, He'll do it for the last day church. Amen. If He told us to do it, so how did they do it? How did they do it? Well, in closing, I suppose the simplest thing I could say, take you to the book of Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, where the Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what He told them to do. And then the Bible says in verse number 20, it says, and they went Hallelujah. And they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs followed. So that's just how we do it, folks. We just do what he said. We take this message and we take it with us everywhere we go. As Brother Bacon said earlier tonight, just share it with everybody you get a chance to share it with. Praise and just share it with everybody that you can open up to. Everybody will open up to you. You just share this good gospel with them. Amen. And the Bible said that if we'll share the word, amen, he'll confirm the word. The signs follow. We see somebody sick, let them know that Jesus heals. You see somebody that wants to be delivered, you let them know that Jesus delivers, that Jesus saves. Amen. Praise God. He's still in that business, isn't he? Praise God. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. We have a great commission. We have a great challenge. And I believe tonight there's just a few that find it. But once we get it, we've got to share it with a multitude. And if we'll share it with enough, we can reach the world with the gospel. We can reach the world with the gospel. Amen. Anybody believe that with me tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, challenge us tonight in our spirit. Help us not to become complacent, but help us, O Lord, to be stern. Help us to remember in the middle of it all that we still have a commission. Thank you for this great salvation. Thank you for saving me tonight. But God, it's not enough. There are thousands of people in our city, tens of thousands of people in our county that need to be saved. They need Jesus. Some of them know you, but they need to know you in a greater way. Some have turned aside, fallen away, and they need to be restored by grace again. God, help us. Help us as a church to reach out. Help us to reach our community. Help us to reach our city. Amen. To see people with addictions delivered. See broken marriages restored and put back together again. Amen. God, to see all kinds of people saved. Filled with your precious Holy Ghost tonight. Jesus, we need you. It's not something we can do. We have no power of our own. But we're dependent on the Holy Ghost. We're going to go. And you said you'd go with us. When we testify, we're not doing that alone. When we preach, we're not doing that alone. When we pray, we're not praying alone. The presence and the power of God go with us. So we thank you tonight and give you praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It's our job to go. It's his promise that he'll go with us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take a moment tonight just to respond to the word of the Lord. Let His challenge reach down into our heart tonight. Let's open our ears tonight to His voice. I want to hear You. I want to do what You say. I want to be, oh God, what You want me to be. I love You, Jesus. I need You to. Some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may thank You, Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to be soul winners, winsome witnesses for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. And remember, Friday night at 7 o'clock, let's be here, bring somebody. Amen. And let's come expecting good things from the Lord. Amen. We don't have a lot of time to get ready. We just got to get with it, huh? Amen. All right. God bless you. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, brother.
Oh,